Are ready? Okay, let's get started. We are on a new section of the Westminster Confession of Faith today. We're on chapter 22, which is of lawful oaths and vows. Okay, we've got behind us, our illustration has been deleted. However, we've been talking about worship the last 5 weeks, I believe, and we've been looking at the elements of worship, which the normal ones are singing the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, praying the Word of God, seeing the Word of God in the sacraments, and those are the normal ones that are mentioned there, as along with this one now today, which is going to be of lawful oaths and vows. The confession is going to make a point that oaths and vows are also part of religious worship, and so it has a whole chapter on those, which is curious, right? That would be a whole chapter. That's a curious point. We'll talk about just why that's so curious in just a moment. But with that said, let's get to it. I'm just going to read the whole section today to give us an overview, and then we'll pray and discuss the topic from Scripture. Let's look at it 1-7 here. It says, a lawful oath is a part of religious worship wherein upon just occasion the person swearing solemnly calls God to witness what he asserteth or promiseth and to judge him according to the truth or falsehood of what he sweareth. Okay, that's a lawful oath, the definition. Second, the name of God only is that by which men ought to swear, and therein it is to be used with all holy fear and reverence. Therefore, to swear vainly or rashly by that glorious and dreadful name, or to swear at all by any other thing is sinful and to be abhorred. Yet, as in matters of weight and moment, an oath is warranted by the word of God under the New Testament as well as under the Old, so a lawful oath, being imposed by lawful authority in such matters, ought to be taken. So we need to be taking oaths according to the Old and New Testament and only by God's name. Not by anything else, and not by rashly doing so. Okay, third, whoever taketh an oath ought duly to consider the weightiness of so solemn an act, and therefore therein to avouch nothing but what he is fully persuaded is the truth. Neither may any man bind himself by oath to anything but what is good and just, and what he believeth so to be, and that he is able and resolved to perform. Yet it is a sin to refuse an oath touching anything that is good and just, being imposed by lawful authority. So if lawful authority calls on you to do a good oath, then it is sinful to refuse it in this sense. Okay, and then the fourth point, an oath is to be taken in the plain and common sense of the words, without equivocation or mental reservation. It cannot oblige to sin, but in anything not sinful being taken, it binds to performance, although to a man's own hurt, nor is it to be violated, although made to heretics or infidels, if it's made to a heretic or infidel, it is still to be kept. We're to keep our oaths. Fifth, a vow is of the like nature with a promissory oath, and ought to be made with like religious care, and to be performed with the like faithfulness. So vows and oaths are to be carefully and faithfully performed. Sixth, it is not to be made to any creature, but to God alone, that it may be accepted. It is to be made voluntarily, out of faith and conscience of duty, and in way of thankfulness for mercy received, or for the obtaining of what we want, whereby we more strictly bind ourselves to necessary duties or other things, so far and as so long as they may fitly conduce thereunto. So reasons we would give vows there are listed in 6. And finally, in 7, no man may vow to do anything forbidden in the word of God. There's some structure as to what's acceptable here, or what would hinder any duty therein commanded, or which is not in his own power, and for the performance whereof he hath no promise or ability from God. In which respect, popish monastical vows, here we have an example, popish monastical vows of perpetual single life, professed poverty, and regular obedience are so far from being degrees of higher perfection that they are superstitious and sinful snares in which no Christian may entangle himself. All right, let's pray. Our gracious God, we ask today that you would help us to glorify you and to express thanksgiving toward you and to take your name with all due reverence and seriousness and fearfulness upon us, and to give lawful oaths and vows according to your word and revealed will. And so we pray that you would guide us and direct us into further understanding your purposes for our oaths and vows, and that we would uphold this truth in our lives for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's rock and roll here. So as you look at this text for you and the confession, you might be perplexed. I mean, so lawful oaths and vows, again, not the, somebody asked a question a few weeks ago, what's the difference between oaths and vows? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, as I said, it's a hard distinction for me to make, but this makes it clear here. As you see here on our sheet, the very top, oath involves both men and God, usually when one person makes a promise to another and invokes God as witness. For instance, is there an oath of office still for the President of the United States? Yeah, you put your hand on the Bible and swear to do the duties of the office, an oath. That's an example of an oath. What would be an example of a vow? A vow is a promise made to God, vows. Do we see vows today? Do we see vows made today?
Wedding vows?
Wedding vows would be a good one, yeah. So you're making a vow to God, you know, things that are lawful, and that's a vow. It's a promise made to God. So that, you might think, well, it's a promise made to the other person, but it's made to God. You're standing before the Lord making these vows. How about that? Yeah. So in that wow, what did you say, Tammy?
I said that's scary.
Yeah, right. It's like it's so interesting, right? That we don't consider that in our culture. We don't take it with the reverence it usually ought to demand, right? That we're making a promise to God to do our marital vows and commit those.
We also make membership vows to the church.
Yes, absolutely. We make membership vows, promises to God in our membership to the church. That's a good one. Are there other examples of vows or oaths that you know that you experience each and every day?
Is it an oath? Is it an oath that when you're on a witness stand?
Yes. That would be another example of oath. You're promising to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You know, and so so these guys had a big view of civic duty, and that the government would require them to do oaths.
Is a contract like an oath, like your contract for your job?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's probably oath or ish, you know. You're making, but it might not rise to the level of an oath, you know, because it is this involves God and making God as a witness, you know. So if I don't tell the truth, you know, like on the witness stand, God should strike me down, you know, like that, like you know that's like you're calling down judgment on yourself, right? Because you're saying I am taking the truth in the name of the Lord. That's what you're saying. He's vouching for me. So if I'm lying, then he's lying. These are the things that you're committing yourself to. You put your hand on that Bible, you know. And so it's a serious endeavor, right? So, but this is a regular part of their lives, okay? As statesmen, right? They had these commitments that the government would enact upon them. And they were on a oath every day that they were committed. These men who wrote this were under the service of Parliament, and so they had taken an oath to do the job, right? And so every Monday they read that in the confession assembly there. So and that interesting, right? That's probably why they have a whole chapter about it. 22. This is a part of their experience. An example of scripture you might want to think about when you're thinking about these things. The first one would be the third commandment. Does anyone remember what the third commandment is?
Don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, and it says, what's the appendix to that commandment, right?
What do you mean?
What's it? How's it closed? Go look at Exodus 20, verse 7.
It says something about he shall not hold him guiltless.
who takes his, yeah. Let's look at it. Let's read. Let's all get our hand, our eyes on it. Exodus 20, verse 7. Get it on your device or your phone. And then we're going to turn to Matthew 5 after this, so you'd be looking toward that direction, but definitely hit Exodus 20, verse 7, and then Matthew 5. All right, who's got it? 20, verse 7. Got it. Thanks.
You shall not take the Lord name of the Lord in vain, the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain.
Yeah. Yeah, it implies oath taking and vow making, that you're going to appeal to the name of God in your life. Okay, now that's the, and it's an act of worship. This is when the in the worship of God section of the Ten Commandments. So that's the background there. Can someone look up Deuteronomy 10:20 while we're at it? We're up in the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy 10:20.
You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name.
Yeah, that's Moses telling them, you're going to cling to the Lord your God. You're going to swear in his name. That's another. It's to be a part of the life of God's people. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at section in chapter 5. Let's look at 34. Let me get there. Yeah, I think I'm actually missing the whole.
That's a good one.
What does it say?
Make no oath.
Well, let's go back to five. That whole section. It's a paragraph, and I'm blanking on where it starts, but I'm trying to get there on my little device.
The heading for oaths is 30, starts at 33, and it looks like it goes to 37.
Yes. Okay, let's go to Matthew 5.
Okay.
33. Let's see. Okay, yeah. So 33 through 37. Okay. It says, Austin, will you read it for me?
Sure. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil.
Okay, so let's talk about this. In context, this is one of the six antitheses, right? So so in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has introduced this section with, I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. Your righteousness needs to exceed that of the Pharisees. In other words, you're to be a law-keeping people, and that's your calling, okay? So as you look at this, you see the examples of the law keepers, the scribes and the Pharisees listed in verse 20. And then he begins with, what do these scribes and Pharisees teach about anger, lust, divorce, oaths, retaliation, and love for the enemies? And as you look at those six areas, Jesus exposes that the people who were so-called righteous people were minimizing the law to an extent to where it was manageable and able to be kept, but they're missing the heart of the law. So in regards to, and the famous example is, the lust one, right? I mean, probably everyone who's gone to youth group has heard this one, right? I tell you, if that's not just commit adultery, but looking lustfully at another woman, or you've committed adultery in your heart. Okay, so that's one of the ones that's well known, but you might not also know that the fourth antithesis is oaths. So what was the context here? Well, if you look at it, it says you've heard it said. Okay, now this is a tradition. You've heard it said, and what they've said is, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you've sworn. So he says here, but I say to you, and what he's saying there is, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. So what was the tenth commandment, number three? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So the way they get around that and they're able to lie and break their word is to swear not by the name of the Lord, but by Jerusalem. You know, I promise on Jerusalem that I will fulfill my duties. Or I promise on heaven that I will do my duties. Or I promise on the throne of God or the whole earth. You know, these are the things that they would do in order to lie. They would lie. They would tell, they would leave themselves an out to keep the law technically because I didn't swear on the name of the Lord. Do you see what they're doing here? This strikes at the heart of their legalism and their pride that they thought they could do the law and treating people as if their word didn't mean anything unless because they had a little cheat code there. And so Jesus says this in 37, let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So don't be duplicitous, but truth matters. Yes is yes, no is no. Keep your word. Don't be like the guys who don't keep their word and use technicalities to get out of the consequences of being held to the fire there. Does this make sense? Okay, that's what's going on. It just seems to be so like childish, doesn't it? Like it's like such a childish way of thinking about it. I had my fingers crossed. You know, that's what they're doing. Like I told you I'd do it, but I had my fingers crossed, so it doesn't count. You know, it's opposite day. I mean, like it's like they've got a lot of like reasons to get out of doing what they promised to do, and so that's why Jesus says no. You got to let your yes be yes or no be no. These are like the leaders here. This is like the chief righteous people, and they will skirt the truth. Truth doesn't matter to them. And as God cares about truth, the people who are supposed to represent God, his name is blasphemed because they are hypocritical, non-truth-telling, non-word-keeping people, taking the name of the Lord in vain. Because even if you don't actually say, I'm taking the name of the Lord upon me, and you lie, you're still taking his name in vain because his name is upon you, you know, as his people. So you're still taking his name in vain. You can't escape that problem, okay, just by your technicalities. Okay, so in today's current world, truth is thought to be what? Relative, okay? It's truth is how I feel. It is not as much an objective standard external to me as something I understand from my feeling of what's truth. And we also will say that, yeah, that I can have my truth, you can have your truth, and that's fine. You know, like that's things that are taught by very high-ranking people in our world that are very well-respected. And very influential. They will say, this is my truth, or that's your truth, and this is your my truth. So have you heard these things?
Of course.
Okay, this is where we live. Okay, so it's no different almost than then. We're just using different games to get around telling the truth, you know, or upholding the truth or denying the truth. We want to deny the truth, so we'll come up with games to get out of it.
We're accepting it.
We don't want to accept it. Yeah, we don't want to have, so that's the thing is that if we will accept the truth external to us or an obligation to keep truth beyond me, then I have to acknowledge I am a servant or I am underneath the lordship of another. And this is the heart of the rebellion against God is I don't want to do that. I want to suppress his knowledge and assert my own kingdom and dominance. So that's the point that you got to think about here. As we as believers in Christ are called to be holy. We are called to be holy. We have to be truth-telling people. This is what we are to represent to the world. We do not, we can't go around breaking our word and bringing dishonor upon the name of the Lord Jesus who bought us. Because, he set us free from the bondage of sin. We are no longer bound to be liars. We're no longer bound to be truth breakers. We're no longer bound to be cheaters, as that's what this is, and that's not what we're bound to any longer. Now, will we ever keep this standard perfectly and say, "Oh, I've always kept the truth. I've always kept my word, and I've never broken my vows or my oaths"? We'll never be able to say that, and that's why we call upon the Lord Jesus to forgive us of our sins and that he will be our righteousness, because none of us can stand if we had to stand in that. That's what Jesus says, your righteousness, as he says in Matthew 5:19, must exceed that of the Pharisees. In verse 20, actually, for I tell you, your righteousness exceeds that, must exceed that of the Pharisees, or you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And that must be that we receive a righteousness external to ourselves, and that's through Christ, through faith in him. So you see what I'm saying here. You have to keep the truth. You can't keep the truth, but the world doesn't want to keep the truth. You're different because you actually want to keep the truth to honor Jesus. That's where you're different. And so law-keeping and oaths is something that we actually desire to do. In order to worship the Lord. We long to be worshipers. And the Lord's seeking worshipers. That's been our big theme, is the Lord's seeking worshipers. He doesn't seek many things. He seeks worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. Not in Jerusalem, not on a certain mountain, but everywhere, in every tribe, tongue, and nation. And he does so, and he acquires the worshipers he's seeking by grace. Not through your works. He will get the ones he wants. And he... Why? Because, you know why? He made an oath. He promised to do it. He's the promise-keeping, oath-keeping Lord. And when we keep our oaths and our promises and our vows, we image him. That's why we're made to image him. So that's the key. And how are we going to do it? Oh, man, it's not by, you know, hey, I just need to be better at oath-keeping. You know, I don't think you have any fuel to do so unless you understand the love of the Lord and doing it for the right reason, that I want to glorify him, not just because I'm a good person. You know, like that's a lot of people keep their word because they're trying to be a good person. You know, and that's a good secondary motivation, right? I mean, it's fine to be one. I want to be a good person. But the ultimate reason is to glorify God. We're made to glorify him and enjoy him. So I'm kind of rambling around the big picture topic here of truth. And how our world doesn't value truth, but we actually do value truth. And if you think about it, things would work a lot better if we kept the truth, right? You know, if your boss, you know, makes a promise to you, or you make a promise to your boss, and you don't keep the truth, things don't go well. If you have a promise to your husband, wife, children, things, and you break those, things don't go well. You know, it's like the truth actually helps us to function well. And the truth is going to cause us to do difficult things, right? And we don't actually understand that difficult things often are for our good. We think the best thing is the easiest way. And that's why we actually just don't care about truth a lot of times. We want to make it easier for us. And so when it's convenient, I'll keep the truth. I'll keep my word. But when it's inconvenient to me, well, you know, hey, I mean, it's tough. You know, those are the things that we do. Do you see, are you at all resonating with any of that? Why you might see people not keeping the truth or not keeping their words or their promises, vows, oaths? Okay. Anything, anything, reason, any questions, comments at this point? Anybody? Okay. All right. Well, let's move to a question or two. As you think about this, why do you think that these guys had such a lengthy chapter on oaths and vows?
Well, I guess kind of like what you said.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
This was part of their process. They,
mm-hmm. they were under oaths.
They were under oaths.
Yeah.
They were reminded of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, constantly.
Yeah.
They felt maybe how important it was.
Mm-hmm. If a church today was writing a confession, you think we would put this in there? I doubt it. I highly doubt it. Yeah, but go ahead. Yeah.
If the church today, if we're gonna start over
and
oh, of course not.
Yeah, yeah. I think because
of our culture does not really deem it really necessary for the individual to keep their word and keep oaths. I mean, you sign a contract nowadays, and as soon as you sign that contract, you're in a court of law, trying to make the other party honor the contract. We're just not a society that does that anymore. So,
mm-hmm.
so of course not. No.
We're infected by that to some degree.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We're infected by that. I think we're all infected by this. We live in it. And another problem too is we're like New Testament Christians primarily. And so like this is a big Old Testament carryover that's legitimately carried over. And Jesus talks about it in the Sermon on the Mount. As a part of our life that's supposed to be assumed right now, but we get most of our teaching and have been for the rest, most of our lives from little green book, little green Bibles, which is the Gideon Bible. You know, it's like we've stripped the whole Old Testament out of it. Most of us couldn't identify the Ten Commandments. You know, and that's the thing, is that this is a commandment. You know, this is like the third commandment. So as it rises to the level of one of the big ten, you know, is oath keeping, vow keeping, the name of God. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, implying oaths and vows. So that's a big problem there, is we just don't really traffic in those circles. So we're missing out on this kind of the connection to the Old Covenant people today. And we're also living in a very secularized community where we don't value truth keeping and telling and that sort of thing. Okay. Those are points. I think that would be a factor that we got to imagine. There's probably other reasons too, but at the ultimate, you know, you could, if somebody pulls you over, the police pull you over for speeding, and he asks you, why were you speeding? And the ultimate answer is sin. You know, I'm a sinner. I don't want to follow the rule of law. I mean, I didn't conscientiously keep the speed limit and try to obey it because I don't care. I honestly want to get where I'm going faster than you want me to get there. I mean, that, and it's my will right now that I'm asserting by my speeding. You know what I'm saying? That's sin. I mean, the reason is sin. And so we don't like the truth. We don't like to keep out vows in that regard. But thankfully, we do keep vows. We do keep truth because of the Lord's work in us. And sometimes a non-believer will keep the vows that they make and the truth that they promise because of common grace. This God doesn't allow us to be as evil and as nasty as we could be, or as we should be, thankfully. And that's his mercy to us. And then in believers, he gives us the Spirit, and he sets us free from the bondage to sin and misery and death. And he puts us to living in him. Okay, so how are vows and oaths related but slightly different? Remember, oaths is, it says on the top of the page, oaths. Yeah. It's a promise to God, oaths between people, yes.
Well, I don't understand why marriage vows are called marriage vows. Because, they are between two people, but also.
As well, yeah.
They should be marriage oaths and vows.
I'm not sure on the wording of this, but yes. I think it's helpful.
I feel like the terms are used interchangeably.
Yeah. Yeah, you're parsing them out slightly different, but yeah, but usually I think of the oath of office as a clear oath. You know, I'm going to swear by the Lord to keep this, you know, on the witness stand. Vow is a vow to God regarding another person. Do you vow to honor her until in sickness and health, love her in sickness and health till death do you part, so and so forth and so forth. You're doing so in regard to a person, expressing your love particularly to one person, but you are doing so to God. And that's why, like, marriage liturgy, so to speak, is really like a worship service, you know, in some ways. There's vow taking in that regard, like a worship situation. Yes. Yeah.
Also, I look at it too like a proclamation to the public versus a personal vow.
Yeah.
It's very personal. Between you and God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's how I kind of make the distinction between the two.
Yes. Yeah, that's a point too, is that it talks about here that we can make oaths and vows. Look down at 6. It's not to be made to creatures, but to God alone, that it may be accepted, is to be made voluntarily out of faith and conscience of duty in thankfulness for mercy received or for the obtaining of what we want. Mm. You know, so it's like you make a vow to God, you know, like a covenant. Job 31, 1 says, I make a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. You know, and so making a promise to God is what Job was doing there in order to obtain righteousness and goodness, whereby we more strictly bind ourselves to necessary duties. You see what I'm saying there? We're going to make a covenant with our eyes. We're going to make a covenant with God, a vow to bind ourselves to what are really necessary duties, right? I mean, these are requirements, or to other things, so far and as long as they feel they conduce thereunto. So we wouldn't bind ourselves to sinning. And if we, even if we, even if the person we've kept, we've made the vow toward with respect to, you know, it says the infidels up at 4. It says it cannot oblige to sin, but in anything sinful being taken, it binds to performance. Anything not sinful being taken, it binds to performance. So if you take an oath, you're bound to perform it, even to a man's hurt. So an example would be Jephthah, one of the judges, makes a rash vow. Did you ever heard this story? In Judges is a train wreck. If you go through it, right before Samson's story in Judges, you get to Jephthah, and probably, I think it's 11 or 12, that chapter there, but he comes home from battle, and he says, I will, devote the thing that comes, the first thing I see when I get home, to the Lord, meaning he's going to slay it. And then it's his child, his only child. So he commits this vow, this rash vow, unnecessary vow, and he's forced to keep it. Though it's an evil thing, he bound himself to. So we shouldn't rashly make vows, right? Or oaths. And it says these oaths, because God, I think that's a tricky one, right? I mean, I wouldn't kill my own son even if I made a vow there. I would take the L on that one, you know. So Jephthah, that's how screwed up it was there, is that he was making that vow. It is to be violated, nor is it to be violated, although made to heretics or infidels. So you can't just make an oath to a heretic or a bad guy and say, oh, well, it's not to the Lord, so I'm going to break it. You know, your word matters, your truth matters. The truth matters. Your word matters. And so we keep the things that we commit to do. Any questions? I think we're running out of time. All right. Well, I hope that helps. We're going to be next week on the civil magistrate as we work our way through this and move on through. We've got marriage and the sacraments coming up. It's exciting stuff. So be ready for that. I believe 23 is the magistrate, right? Yeah. Okay, good. We're going to that next. So let's pray before we get out of here. Our gracious God, we ask that today you would work in our midst to help us to be further along with you. Help us to love Christ, to serve him alone, and to do the things that are required of us, and to do so with joy and liveliness in the doing. We pray today that truth would be something that we as a people of yours, your flock, value. And our word valuing, and let our yes be yes, or no be no, we ask it. For your glory in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. See y'all in the big room. It is daylight savings time.